Right. And a bunch of folks wanting to go there this summer and serve. I think probably vacation Bible school oriented service and doing some work. But that's tonight at 6 o'clock to jump in on that. And then in a couple of weeks, starting off with a membership class. It happens during Sunday school, and it's a chance to feel connected to one another, really, by saying, yeah, I'm committed to the Lord and the Christians at Norwin Alliance Church. The church membership class, for me, it's an opportunity just to hear what's on people's hearts and how God got a hold of your life in different ways. We talk about, you know, when you're a child, what positive thing did God use to begin to wake you up to himself? And just a variety of answers there. Want to make sure you're at peace with God through faith in Christ by giving your heart to him and trust. And also give you a chance to feel close to one another. Sometimes that's hard, and you know, you get a bunch of folks together and you know a few, but maybe not many beyond that. Gives you a chance to connect with people. We talk about having a growing relationship with Christ in our prayer life, in our walk, in worship. And we talk about having a growing relationship to the body of Christ, that is God's people. It's been said we're about as close to the Lord as we are to other believers. That's the First John test of your walk. And then the growing relationship to the work of Christ in the world, just how you take on following God. You know, 95% of the time that you're not here, which is most of our time is spent away from one another and away from church building itself. So it's a positive thing, and I'd be blessed if you were in it and just feel part of that as God leads. Well, I'm amazed that we look at the Bible and see the variety of experiences Jesus had with people after he rose from the dead. It seems like he showed up everywhere and for every particular reason. In last week's scripture, Jesus was seen walking with two men who didn't recognize him or didn't realize he was there. And Jesus comes up to them and stays with them, the Bible says. So if you're here today and you think, well, God doesn't feel like God's with me, or I don't feel close to God, and why is that? Jesus may come up to you during the service or during sometime this week, walk with you, stay with you. As it were, tap you on the shoulders and say, I'm here, and follow me. He helps us believe in him. And then the Lord has a couple Bible studies right after he rises from the dead, wouldn't you know? Since he wrote the book, he would open the book. And so as he did that to these men on the road to Emmaus, they said, weren't our hearts burning within us when he talked about himself from the Bible? If you take that phrase, hearts burning within us, that really means they were greatly moved and they felt energized. And, you know, they didn't have a cup of coffee to energize them or greatly move them. But it was something about opening God's word, God talking about himself in the Bible that really helped them. And to be realistic about it, you know, every time I open the Bible, I'm not greatly moved or greatly energized. Sometimes I'm searching. Sometimes I can't hear God too closely, or I'm saying, I got a toothache and I can't concentrate on what I'm reading or something like that. But I've found if I stop and say, Lord, teach me about yourself in the scripture. Tell me about yourself. I really want to know who you are and what you want me to do. How can I follow you? I do find that the Lord makes my heart strangely warmed. I feel energy to follow God, and he does help. So you do that as you meet Christ, the risen Lord. He'll do that for you. And then in today's scripture, Jesus comes up to people as they're talking, just in their everyday conversation. He stands around among them, and he says, peace be with you. Wouldn't we like to know that today? I'm at peace with God. You might say, I've never trusted God for my eternity, or for the saving of my soul. Christ would come and give you his peace with himself. Peace be with you. He can bring that to you throughout the week. And then Jesus says something very, very spiritual. He says, do you have anything here to eat? you have anything here to eat? And they gave him some broiled fish. And the Bible says he sat down in their presence and ate with them. Wow. And notice it was broiled fish, not fried. You go to the restaurant, broiled please, not fried. Follow the Lord, see. Just a misapplication there. But the Lord, right before this, you know, after he rose from the dead, he broke bread. He broke bread, and the Bible says, as a part of that close fellowship with people, their eyes were opened to who he was. That's what we do in communion. We say, we remember Jesus. We break bread together on our knees, as it were, spiritually. We remember he gave his life for us, and we get to know God better. But Jesus also ate the broiled fish with people. Just an everyday, very special meal. If I don't meet him in my everyday, very special meal, I might have a hard time meeting him at the Lord's table. See, because he's at the very common meal. He's at the very special meal. He's everywhere. And later in the passage, Jesus is worshipped outside of Bethany. He's worshipped in the temple of Jerusalem. It's as Eugene Peterson says, a writer, he says, Jesus plays well in 10,000 different places. That's where you and I are going this week, right? 10,000 different places. Wow. And the thing to say, Lord, help me know you that way, the risen Christ, that you're everywhere. And one of the attributes of the Lord that I really am thankful for and am seeking him to know him better about, and I know all his attributes are good, is the attribute that he is everywhere present, that he's omnipresent. Everywhere I go, the Lord is there. I think that's so important for us to meet Christ in that way, or we meet him inconsistently, and at worst, hypocritically. I know that God is holy. I'm so glad he is. He helps my heart feel broken and want to turn to him. I know that God is love. What would it be like if God was not loving? We would just run and hide from him all the time. Sometimes we do that. But he's loving and he's holy. If he was loving and holy, but not close to us, not here, not right with you, not where you go to work or go to school, it wouldn't be much help to you. But he's right there with you. Everywhere you go. All the time. God says in Jeremiah chapter 23, I fill up heaven and earth. I fill up heaven and earth. When A.W. Tozer wrote about that, he said it's like you take a bucket filled with water and you stick it in the middle of the ocean. The bucket's full of water and it's surrounded by water. And that could be your life with God, refreshed like that. Say, Lord, open my eyes to see you, Jesus. I know a pastor's wife down in North Carolina who loves hot air balloons. Dangerous thing to like. She likes to go up in hot air balloons. Drags her husband along with her. See if you really trust God, you know. He preaches like he does. Let's see if he does. So up she goes, and around her house she has all kind of hot air balloon decorations. Cards, posters, you know, vases for flowers. You name it, she's into it. And I ask her, how in the world does that thing work? You know, get up there, surrounded by the air. Air cards help it. Filled with air in some manner, helium plus something else, and totally engulfed in what air is to keep the thing going. And that's our life with God, your life with God. God all around you, God filling your soul. If you say, Lord, fill me with yourself, fill me with your spirit. And how wonderful Jesus is to be that way. You know, the pagan religions, this is what they did. They said, to really know God, you have to go to a certain place, and you have to act certain ways, and you have to yell real loud, or maybe be real, real, real quiet, and then God may come. That's the pagan religions. But the Bible says God is everywhere. And if your heart is open to him, he'll meet you in the church all the time. He'll meet you outside the church, at the school, the playground, everywhere you go. There was a gal in the first church I served. After every service, she was a dear person, an elderly lady. Down to earth, but in touch with God. She wasn't spooky by any means. After every service, I don't know if I shared this with this group, she'd catch me at the door and say, "Hey, didn't you feel just so close to God during that service? Wasn't it so wonderful? It seemed like God was in every part of it." And I'd look at her like, "What church did you just go to?" And I was helping to serve. But who was in touch? Who was really in touch with the way things were? Was it me? Or was it her? Who was really in touch with the way things really were when two or three met to be with Jesus? There's a teacher on DVD that some of our small groups are using named Rob Bell. He puts out something called the Pneuma series, discipleship series kind of thing. And he came out with a new one, and it's called Everything is Spiritual. Everything is Spiritual. That's a powerful title when you think of it. He says, well, in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, there is no word for spiritual, because when people looked at life, they saw all of life surrendered to God himself. When you gather, when you pray, when you do your work, a spiritual activity. For Jesus, prayer and worship, friendships, your work life, whether you pay taxes or you get rebellious about that, that's before God. Before God is an act of worship to him. And if you want to know how spiritual you really are, you know, just go around your neighborhood or go to the people you work with or go to school with and have people ask them, how is so-and-so as a person? That's when you know how spiritual and healthy you really are. Everything is spiritual and God is everywhere. So there's a pastor in Pittsburgh who often prays this, and I appreciate the prayer. He says, Lord, may your presence make everything holy, every place holy. Because that's in reality where God is. I have a picture on the board here. I appreciate the guys have it on the screen that shows sometimes what we do. The Bible doesn't ask us to do this, but this is sometimes what we do. We separate life into something that's sacred and something that's secular. And God's really never done this, but we do. It's unhealthy discipleship being partially sent into the world. And sometimes we think sacred things are prayer, church, Bible worship, and souls. Those are so very, very important. I never want to minimize those. I think we all should be growing in health in those areas. But on this side, we say, well, this other part is somehow separate from God, and we call that secular. That didn't really much have anything to do with God. You guys are giving me the lapel mic signal over here. Thank you. The secular side, what I do, you know, 5 or 6 days a week, how I learn, you know, am I as hungry for the truth of what God reveals in history as I am when I'm hearing about Moses and the Israelites and those things? Eating, clothing, spending, they're done as before God. But we try to separate them. Recreation, if we secularize recreation, we either worship recreation, some of us do, in a bad way, or we say, well, that doesn't count for anything. You know, we get a real sedentary in our life, and we hurt ourselves by it, even our physical body. Here's the Bible way of looking at life as being with God everywhere. Everything becomes sacred. Prayer and learning, church and worship, and work and recreation. Our body, our soul, our spirit. The Bible never looks at life as being secular or separate from God. It does look at something being profane, which is taking a wonderful thing of God and misusing it, which we're susceptible to without God's help. We could pray, and we're praying with our lips, but our hearts are far from God. That's profane use of prayer. We can never pray during the week or with loved ones. Then when we show up in Sunday school or church, I mean, we're praying away like we're Billy Graham, you know. It's a profane way to pray. Even something like, I picked to make an extreme example, something of God's creation that doesn't have a spiritual connection right away, like a tree. Remember when George Washington allegedly chopped down the cherry tree? Said, I can't lie, I did it. I remember my grade school teacher making a big deal about that. She said, why in the world did he chop down that cherry tree? And she didn't worship the earth or anything. But she was trying to say, you just don't take something God made and just willy-nilly use it for your own selfishness, you know. Here's a tree, I'll just chop it down. When my brothers and I would walk home from school in grade school, we'd see some flowers in the neighbor's yard. We'd say, he has a lot of flowers. Let's just take some. We ripped them out of the ground and used them as swords to poke each other. See? And we couldn't understand what's so bad about that. Taking what God has made and using it for a selfish end, not a way that glorifies God. I'll ask for your forgiveness beforehand on this illustration. Even the things that God has made, animals, a pet, for example, a dog. The Bible says if your righteous man takes care of the needs of his animal. You know what a profane dog is? A cat. All that. Now you have to forgive. You have to forgive before we come to communion on that. But to see all of our life as thanking God for home, for dogs, for cats, for the time that we gather. Jesus, you're everywhere. And we would be delighted by the Lord because of it. Thank you, guys. Now, the Lord understood this in the Scripture, of course, and He reveals it to us. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, so whether you eat or drink, do it all to the glory of God. Now, you wouldn't think of eating and or drinking as spiritual things, but when you eat or drink, do it for the glory of God if you want to be fulfilled in that. Otherwise, you'll just be eating to fill yourself. And that doesn't take us too far. To eat or drink to the glory of God. He said, the Lord says in Colossians chapter 3, so whatever you do, whether in word or deed, that's work, that's friendship, word or deed, do it all to the glory of God because He's there with you in that. To thank God for His real presence that makes everything holy. I use the word real presence on purpose because often we feel like the closest presence we will feel with Jesus is in the bread and the cup. And that's where we remember Him, His death. It's a very, isn't it a very serious time, but also a very close time of thankfulness. But God would let us know, based on Scripture, Jesus is bigger, much bigger, than the bread and the cup. His real presence fills the whole earth, not just what is set aside. See, we use that to remember the Lord. So thank the Lord that His real presence makes everything holy. It makes everything a sacramental moment, as it would be. And then we could pray to the Lord, have a heart of prayer for a constant and frequent awareness of God's presence. This is what with people who look at Christians and say, when you really begin to know God in a refreshing way and have Him revive your soul, you see God more and more throughout the day. A frequent and consistent awareness of His presence, how He would meet us and say, peace be with you in different settings. There's men have a desire to have this at work. Young people have a desire to have this in school. Oh, if only I could see God as a part of my studies. How different my school would be. Well, is He there or is He not? Or are you waiting to have Him open your eyes, which He can? People need it at home. Story of a wife. She's cooking supper. It's 5:15. Things aren't going well. The TV's blaring and the kids are running around. She thinks that supper's going to be late. She feels exhausted. She just plops down at the kitchen table, hand in her head. You know, why am I doing this? I need help. She feels like Christ comes and sits with her at the table, gives some friendship, encouragement, she feels close to God, she begins to do her tasks again with some source of, you know, joy and love for others, because Christ is there. And then to ask the Lord to tell you about Himself, both in His Word and in His world, since He's everywhere, to feel again energized and greatly renewed by Him. This is a would be a gift from Him to us. Some of you are familiar with the name Thomas Kincaid. He's a Christian artist. He does greeting cards. He does portraits. And he has some stores in different malls and things. Well, every once in a while, he'll go and visit one of his stores, Thomas Kincaid. He's right there. His paintings are all on the wall. You could look at what he made and say, wow, you did a tremendous thing here. You could talk to him because he's there. He can give you something that he wrote. And you could read that. You could say, I understand your heart now, Mr. Kincaid. You're here and you're giving me something that you've authored. And I can know you and maybe become a fan of yours. And Christ is like that for us. In what He made, to know Him. In His Word, to know Him. In His presence, well, don't forget about Him. Him, the one who loves you, the one you want to meet with this morning, the one you've worshipped, the one who will be with you every moment of this week. Could you meet with Him in communion and say, Lord, meet with me too in the broiled fish, and when I need your peace, and when I open your word, and help me, Lord, follow you as you are. Let's pray as we prepare for communion with the Lord. Lord, you gave a promise in your Bible that we heard that you fill heaven and earth. And so we take that as true, and we're ready to continue to be with you now and follow you this week. I pray for an opening of our hearts to yourself, removing of the scales from our eyes, as it were, in our hearts, and we would know we're in the presence of God all the time. And certainly it'll change our mind, our will, our words, our work. Please make these holy times with you. We also hold before you folks hurting in different ways physically. You'd be very, very close to them in their awareness of you. We pray that for Becky Jeremy, who's injured at home, for Steve Meyer recovering from pneumonia, for Chet Truxell, needing your care, for Frank Lachetto's dad, and for any who would be troubled today by physical difficulties or hurting in their emotions, for those who have to make decisions about their health, that you'd be close to them and let them know you'll guide them, Jesus. Give them that peace. And hear our prayer, silent prayer, Lord, as we just prepare our hearts to say, Lord, you're great, and we're so glad to meet with you at your table today. Be our joy and our crown as we pray to you. Hear our silent prayers. We remember you, Jesus, and we're glad for your love for us today. In your name we pray. Amen. On the night our Lord was betrayed, he took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body given for you. Do this remembering me." After supper, the Lord took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this remembering me, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. You say, Jesus died for me. And we do this until he comes again."